Yeah.
Am I on? Okay. Let me see here. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Oh, you are out there. Well, it's October and it's Pastor Appreciation Month, and I thought, well, hey, no better way to appreciate our pastor than to get the youth director up here to preach one Sunday. So, no, it's a pleasure that I can share a little bit with you today about out of God's Word. You will note that you get one slide for me today, and you're looking at it. And it says, but even if, and it's Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 30 are listed. But if you're opening your Bibles to Daniel 3, you're going to be like, oh, neat, we're going to read Scripture all day long. But I'm going to summarize for you a little bit of verses 1 through 7. Now, the story of the fiery furnace is probably familiar to most. I don't want to say all of you know about Daniel and the fiery furnace, because maybe some of you don't. But this is a familiar story to a lot of us. And we're going to read a little bit about it, and I'll talk probably a lot about it. So verses 1 through 7, it's talking about King Nebuchadnezzar. He's a prideful, arrogant man. He thinks, the world revolves around him. He has a temper about him, and he is coming out. He's built this humongous, as Al said in our children's message this morning, humongous 90-foot high statue of gold and 9-foot wide. And he thinks it's the greatest thing in the world, and he's told everybody, whenever you hear all sorts of music, all these instruments, all of you will bow down and worship the God that I have created, because it's what I said you need to do. So that's basically verses 1 through 7. So we're going to pick up at verse 8, and we'll read that together. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summons Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you are ready. If you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Nebuchadnezzar was furious with the three men, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than the usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who says anything against the God of these men be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." And then they were appointed to be appointed in the province of Babylon. Let's pray together. Lord, we're thankful for this day that you've provided for us to come to your house and worship you together. We pray that the Holy Spirit would penetrate our hearts, they would open our minds, and that we'd be ever present this morning, and we could take the words that you've given to us and make them the song of our hearts and the song of our lives. Lord, I ask that you'd please speak and that you would be heard. In God's name we pray, amen. All right, so what's happening? We already summarized verse 1 through 7, the big statue. Everybody needs to worship it because arrogant King Nebuchadnezzar is demanding it. And it's one of those things that everybody's doing it. So, you know, you three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you need to be doing it as well. Well, in verse 8, when it comes, it's talking about the astrologers came forward. They came to King Nebuchadnezzar, and you can think of these astrologers as, you know, Nebuchadnezzar's fan club, really. And they wanted to tattle on these three men because everybody else is doing it but these three. Now, I don't know about your households or maybe your grandchildren, but I have a few people in my family who like to tattle. And when they tattle, what is their goal? To get me all fired up, to get somebody else in trouble. And that is what King Nebuchadnezzar, or I'm sorry, that's what these astrologers are expecting out of King Nebuchadnezzar by tattling that these three men are not doing as you've commanded. In fact, in verse 8, it says denounce. And I didn't know what denounce meant, so I had to learn. And it says publicly accuse of wrongdoing. So they were making it very clear to the entire everybody else who's doing it, that these three men are not. And what happens in verse 13 through 15? Nebuchadnezzar gets angry, more angry. And it's, you know, likely the reaction that the astrologers were hoping for, because it takes the attention off of us in case we might not be doing it good enough, then hey, at least these three men are not. And at that moment, Nebuchadnezzar, I believe it says immediately, yeah, furious with rage, he immediately had them come forward. Shadrach, boys, come here. Kind of like at my house. Somebody tattles, so I get the other ones. Come here right now. Let's talk about this. He was almost giving them a second chance and saying, is it true? You are not doing as I have commanded. And there's, you can almost hear the arrogance in the written word when he says, is it true? Like, for real, you're not bowing down as I've commanded. For real. Is he surprised? And we get to the heart of what I want to talk about today in verses 16 through 18. And it's the reply of these three men. And they are standing up to the king. And they take no time to explain their actions. They take no time to pause and come up with like a little story quick of, I don't know, did we tell them the truth? Do we, you know, what do we say? And you'll, let's see. I've got to find it back. Summoned. King Nebuchadnezzar was saying in verse 15, you'll be thrown immediately into a fire if you cannot tell me right now that you want to bow down and worship my God. Well, right now, the boys respond very clearly, very firmly, and they take no time to explain the actions. Now, if you think about it a minute, they could have just done what I think some of us do sometimes. Well, why? All you had to do was just bow down to this God whenever you hear this music. That's all you have to do. Just, you know, it doesn't mean your heart means it, but just do it. Outwardly do it because that's what everybody else is doing. And, you know, I think of a few times in my life where I've done that, where I see everybody else doing something. You know, I don't really care for it, but my heart doesn't believe what they're doing, but I'll just do it anyway because it's easier. It doesn't hurt me if I don't do that. It doesn't hurt anybody else, certainly, if I do what everybody else is doing. But the danger of just do it, just go with the flow. You don't have to mean it. Or, you know, everybody else is doing it. Or the other side is, nobody else is doing it, so I'm not going to do it either. Don't bother. Just do what you want. But as Mark Matlock in a conference that I attended years ago had once said, have we allowed ourselves to become a work of culture or a work of the kingdom? So in this kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, these three young men are at a crossroads where they get to decide, am I going to become part of this culture or am I going to become a part of the kingdom, the work of God? So they do not give a foothold to the work of the culture. They don't justify what they're doing. They don't make up some song and dance about, well, sure, we'll do it this time, but that's all. They don't do that. And that's because they are focused on the king. And they stand in their faith. Because there's two things. Like I said at the crossroads, there's two things. They can either pay the price of rejecting the gods and the king's command. They can pay the price of rejecting King Nebuchadnezzar. And they can pay the price by going into the fiery furnace. Or they're going to have to pay the price of disobedience to their God and king. And so verse 18, we hear the but even if. They've given their reason. They've given, you know what? Our God is able to do this. He can deliver us. But they don't know for sure. I mean, they just believe that. They have faith enough in that. And they still go even further and say, but even if not, my God is still good, and I'm still going to praise him, whether I'm in a fiery furnace or not. So their faith is steadfast. And it does not waver. Like I said, they're not hee-hawing around to decide in front of King Nebuchadnezzar if they are going to bow down and worship or not. They are firm. And it's firm in two things. The power of God. Verse 17, the first part of it says, God is able to save us from the furnace. That's the power of God. He is able to do that. And then the second thing is the plan of God, which is the last part of verse 17. But even if not. So our faith, the faith of those men, it does not or cannot change just because of the plans of God. They had firm enough faith in the power of God because he is able. And then they had faith enough to stand in the plan of God. Hang on to those two thoughts as we move forward. So, after the men give their spiel about, sorry, we're not doing it, dude, King Nebuchadnezzar gets even more angry. He gets furious. His attitude changes. And as the details of verses 19 through 23 say, they are bound up very tightly by the strongest soldiers that King Nebuchadnezzar has on hand. And they aren't just, you know, escorted politely into the fire. They are thrown into this fiery furnace burning seven times hotter than usual. And you know that they come out without even a singe of hair or even smelling like smoke. Now, I don't grill much. And if I do grill, I grill hot dogs because there's not much science to that. I mean, when they get a little black, they're done. Or if you got someone who doesn't like the black, they're too done. Anyway, but anyways, I grill a hot dog and I come out smelling like smoke. But these men are in a hot, fiery furnace and have nothing to show of it. And why is that? Who was in there with them?
God.
We don't know exactly if it was an angel. We don't know if it was the Son of God, but it was the presence of God in human form was in this fire with these men. When Nebuchadnezzar notices, he's, you know, I don't know what, I kind of wonder, what was he doing? He had these men thrown in there, and I suppose he thought his work was done. He thought, well, they're done. I'm going to go, you know, see who else isn't following my rules. So I don't know if he turns around and notices, well, wait a second. There were 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 4 men. And so he says to his advisors, didn't we put 3 in there? Why are there 4? And at that moment, I think curiosity or even just astonishment and shock gets a hold of Nebuchadnezzar. And so he commands the 3 men, come out, come here. He noticed that they were walking, that they were no longer bound, and then they were accompanied by what appears to him to be the son of the gods. And do you understand that the very thing set to destroy these 3 men is now enabling them to be free? That doesn't make sense to me. They are in a fire bound, supposed to be burning, but that is not, it's doing the opposite. They are free. They are walking freely. And so do our own fires, do our own trials reflect this kind of freedom? When you are bound by a trial on any given day, when you're maybe in a furnace of sorts, do you walk in the freedom of your faith, or are you crippled by the heat of the fire? Do you walk in the freedom of your faith, or are you crippled by the heat of the fire? Fires, Anita, fires are not comfortable. Neither are our trials. But we're not alone in the fire. And we can find comfort in that. God does not keep us out of fires of the world, but he does walk through them with us. Henry Nouwen writes in The Wounded Healer, Jesus Christ is with us, not after all of our misery is past, but in the very middle of it. Not in another place, but right here where we are standing. And so the boys come out of the fire. They're unharmed. And Nebuchadnezzar's checking them out. And the results in verse 28 through 30 say, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar is giving glory now to God. You know, before he was mocking, like, who else could even save you from this fiery furnace? And now they're coming out of it, and he's worshiping and praising God, giving glory to him. He says that we're to praise God of these men because they trusted in him. They defied the king's command, and they were willing to give up their lives. I mean, who enters a fiery furnace thinking they're coming out alive? They knew that they might have to give up their lives. And they did that rather than conforming to the culture of the world or even to skip the fire. They knew they couldn't skip it no matter what. And they did this because even if they had to get thrown into a fire, their God is still good and their God will still protect them. So, church, what furnace have you been thrown into? What fires are you in? Are they comfortable? Are you getting hot? Is it starting to burn? You know, I thought of a few fires that come to mind, and I know I can't name all of them, but you know, unemployment, that's a fire. Or a job that is not satisfying. A broken relationship or a broken marriage. Grief. Loneliness. Financial distress. Maybe you have a prodigal child that you have been praying and waiting to come back home. There's plenty of discouraging medical reports that I know of amongst you. Academic trouble, bullying, lost of friendships. And I'm pretty sure there's a few farmers in here who, even though it snowed in the last week, were in a furnace because of that snow. How am I going to get my crops out? How is this going to happen? And then there's the addictions of a parent or a sibling or a friend or a child. There's abandonment and rejection that you might be experiencing. All of these things indicate a crossroads, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The crossroads of, am I just going to conform to the culture? Am I going to go down the path of, oh, I guess this is my life. I guess it's going to be hard. I don't like this. And fight against it? Or are you going to stand firm? Take the other way. Take the kingdom work way. Stand firm in your faith in God, because even if I'm going to experience these fires and these furnaces, even if it's going to snow in October, early October, even if my child hasn't come home in 15 years, even if I have a cancer diagnosis, my God is still good enough to save me from that and keep me safe in this fire. Amen? Amen. Are you trusting God, defying the word, committing to the work of the kingdom, even if you are thrown into a fire? It's not comfortable. But you are not alone in that fire. Y'all, Satan is a part of this. And he will always, always challenge your allegiance to God. And he will use the fires of this world to smolder your faith. And I think a lot of times we get, you know, we're in our fires and it's hard to focus on anything but the fire because it's hot and uncomfortable. But we have to recognize there's two things here. There is the God of all of earth, and then there's Satan, who wants to also get into there with you. He doesn't want you to be alone either, so he's going to come in and do his work. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 9. You don't have to turn there, but maybe just take note of it. It says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Do you get that picture? I mean, I'm thinking, you know, go to the Sioux Falls Zoo and I see the lions and they're always just laying there kind of bored. This isn't what Satan is. Satan is the roaring lion prowling, looking for you. He's looking for me. But in 1 Peter, it continues to say, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And I didn't write it in my notes, but it goes on to say in verse 10, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you, and he will make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. The same God of 1 Peter 5 is the same God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we need to recognize that Satan is looking for us. And if we are not living with a but even if kind of faith, we will be devoured. And it will either be devoured by the lion or we're going to get burned in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a literal fire. And why? Because they chose not to conform to the world. Because they were honoring God and not worshiping the idol of the day. And they were thrown into a fire for choosing the God and King instead of the God and King, the culture. So, church, I know you're in some fires. And if you're not right now, you probably will be or you have been. It's uncomfortable. stinks, it's hurtful, it's lonely, it feels lonely, but it's not lonely because who is there? Who is here? God is with you in your fire today. You have a family of believers, not just in this building, but across the world. The Universal Church of God is suffering the same fires as you. Do not be crippled by the heat. And stand firm. Don't even give a moment, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't even take a moment to decide, what am I going to do? No, you stand firm in your faith. In God and King who reigns over all the earth, even if there's a fire, even if it snows, even if the doctor doesn't tell me what I want to hear. You stand firm in your faith. And all of God's people say,
are you ready?
Yep.
Okay.
Every tear, every doubt, every time you've fallen down, when you're hurting, feeling shame, when you're numbing all your pain, when you've lost your way and feel so far.